Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. You hear that music, and the only time you hear that music is Thursdays at 3. Sheila Kapati of The Ringer joins us. Sheila is sponsored by Dr. Raffi and Precision Hair Restoration. You'll keep losing your hair until you stop it. Dr. Raffi can help you get your confidence back. Visit PhillyHairMD.com today. Sheila, how are we feeling?
I mean, last week I came on, and our biggest concern was, would they play Saquon Barkley in Week 18 to break the rushing record?
Right.
Things change quickly.
They do.
I
tell you.
Philly, brother. Philly and the Eagles. So, actually, to start off, why don't we start with that? So, there's the AJ comment Sunday, then BG's comments on WIP on Monday, and then AJ and Jalen talk yesterday. I guess just sort of a wrap-up of how are you feeling about all of that after that all transpired?
Well, I mean, the big takeaway is everyone likes Ike so much. They feel, they just feel comfortable, and all of a sudden they start saying things.
I want to be clear.
Oh, learn the show.
Yeah, buddy. Now you're gonna have to kiss the ring here. Is that BG didn't say it to Ike? He said it to me and Howard.
That's true.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh,
I appreciate the vote of confidence.
Well, how much more do we gotta kiss up to Ike on this radio show?
There's a lot of like Ike knows what I'm talking about, but on this one, and I give Ike a lot of credit for everything that he does. He doesn't get this one.
I had
buddy.
Nothing to do with it. Yes. Yeah.
Listen,
I'm out.
Now I feel good because I unintentionally needled you guys. Anyway.
Yeah.
Listen. It was after the game. I didn't like. I was surprised, obviously, at the comments a little bit, but I didn't think it was anything that was going to maybe dominate the entire week. And then BG makes the comments, and all of a sudden it takes on a life of its own. So I don't know the personal side of it. I don't know the state of their relationship. Are they as close as they used to be? All those things. I do know that on the film, AJ Brown was open a bunch of times and they were trying to dial up plays for him. The second play of the game, the first play of the second half. And I think those are plays that if they're in the film room and talking to Jalen Hurts, they would say, you got to pull the trigger on these throws. Like they're open and you got to give him a shot there. So I understand why AJ Brown was frustrated from the football aspect of it. And it's what we've talked about for weeks now, which is, can you win big? Can you win a Super Bowl if the passing game doesn't improve, even though you love the defense, you love the run game, you love the offensive line? And so I think all of that stuff kind of came to a head after that performance against the Panthers.
So you say that, and in watching it, you know, because you hear a lot of, especially with people who are defending Jalen in this whole thing, not the personal thing, but in the passing game thing, you'll hear people say, well, Kellen Moore needs to scheme so-and-so open, and they're not doing creative enough things in the passing game. It seems to me that there's a lot of stuff left on the table. How much of each of those do you see? How much do you see this as being a Jalen not pulling the trigger issue? And then how much do you see a coordinator sort of offensive scheme issue there?
Yeah, I think overall the Kellen Moore criticism is fair when you look at it and you say the passing game's not better than it was last year. And that's kind of what he was brought to Philadelphia to do. And so it hasn't been that creative. I don't think we're ever sitting here after a game being like, wow, Kellen Moore did an incredible job. I don't think anyone's really had that conversation this season. We've talked about how the run game has been great, but we know how much Jeff Stoutland has to do with that. So it is a combination, but I would say this last game and over the course of the season, since that first month of the season when Jalen Hurts was turning the football over, I think he has gotten conservative with some of these throws. I mean, in years past, we've been able to point to plays where A.J. Brown's being double-teamed and it's not even part of his, you know, Jalen Hurts' progression, but he says, A.J. Brown's awesome. I'm just going to chuck it up there and see if he can make a play. I mean, when they played the Steelers, I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, there was a very specific play where he did that, and it ended up in a touchdown to A.J. Brown. And now not only is he not doing that, but there are plays, again, that are dialed up for A.J. Brown. The second play of the game last week was one of them. And then, you know, they had a play action under center that's designed to go to A.J. Brown coming out of halftime. And those throws, I think Hurts has gotten a little bit too conservative. Maybe he's worried about turning the football over, but he's leaving plays on the field.
Yeah, that's my sense, Shield, is that it was drilled in him from earlier in the season. You know, those first four games of the season, what do you have, 9 turnovers before the bye week? That's an awful lot of turnovers to have in just 4 games. And it was hurting the team. And to his credit, he obviously wanted to change that and not hurt his team. But I think it subconsciously has affected whether or not he wants to be aggressive with the ball. Right? He would rather either throw it away or even sometimes take off.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about it. If you look at the numbers and the percentages, the number of times where it's a pass play and they don't even attempt to pass is like higher than any team in the NFL. Like you mentioned, it's either a scramble or it's a throwaway or it's a sack, by the way, which
right.
has become a very big problem. I mean,
yeah.
he's being sacked on 10% of his dropbacks. That's like the highest percentage of any Eagles quarterback this century. I mean, even that 2020 season with Carson Wentz, where the offense was a disaster, they weren't taking sacks at this rate. And so you kind of traded one for the other. And I'm with you. Like, listen, if he comes out and turns the football over 3 times, then we're going to be here going, man, you
right.
got to take better care of the football. So I don't want to make it sound like it's easy and that he's always doing the wrong thing. Like, there's a fine line for quarterbacks, specifically quarterbacks who can create like he can with his legs. But I do feel like it swung a little bit too far in the one direction, especially when you're paying A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith over $25 million per year, and we all know that they're phenomenal wide receivers. I do think you have to give them more opportunities to make plays downfield. I mean, I think they only have one completion of over 20 yards in the last 2 games, and it's just going to be hard to win when you can't produce some more of those explosive plays.
Now, I'm listening to Kellen Moore the other day, and they clearly have discussed this behind the scenes about finding ways to get A.J. the ball and get him more involved. And I know it's not just about A.J., and I know it's the passing game, but here's what I'm wondering, Shiel. How far do you go with this before it compromises winning football games? In other words, this has been a winning formula for them. Now, are we going to sort of abort the winning formula to keep guys happy? Or what? Like, how do the Eagles navigate this when this has clearly been successful for them?
Yeah, I don't think you totally flip what you do. Like, I don't think they're all of a sudden going to become a pass-heavy team. I mean, they're one of the most run-heavy teams in the NFL this season. I think it's them and Green Bay. No team is running the football at a higher rate on first and second down. And it makes sense. You got Jalen Hurts. You got Saquon Barkley. You got this offensive line, the run game is awesome. We all know that. So I don't think it's about changing that formula. And it's not even necessarily about passing the football more. It's about when you do call those pass plays, you know, encouraging the quarterback and letting him know, hey, let's find that right balance between not turning the football over, but also trusting yourself, trusting the play call, trusting the scheme, trusting the wide receivers and getting them the ball. You know, because there were games earlier this season where they weren't necessarily passing the football at a high rate, but A.J. Brown was still getting a bunch of targets and he was still putting up big numbers within this scheme. So I think that to me is the winning formula. It's not necessarily about passing the football more. It's about, hey, when we do get in those situations where we do want to pass it, let's make sure we're making the most out of those plays.
Shiel Kapadia with us, who joins us every Thursday at 3. You know, 2 things about what you just said. And the first thing being, if we took those sacks and those throwaways and those scrambles, all of a sudden, maybe they're passing it 27 times rather than 20, and everything looks a lot different at that point, at least in when you're looking at the numbers and the feel of the game. So when we're talking about how much they're passing it, we also have to look at how many times they're actually calling to pass it, which is a lot higher than the actual passes. And the other thing being, you can just go through history. Quarterbacks with high sack rates don't win the Super Bowl. And with their sack rate as high as it is, like that's too high. You know, I don't know what else to say other than that is a difficult way to win football games.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And when you look at quarterbacks around the league, it's like, you know, some of them might turn it over a little bit more but get sacked a little bit less. Some of them might get sacked a little bit more and turn it over. So again, it's not like, oh, you know exactly what you should do on every play. But I'm with you, especially with this offensive line. Like, this is not an offensive line issue. They had a couple sacks last week that I would say were on the offensive line, and it was such a rarity watching it because it just hasn't happened a lot this year where you say, oh, this guy got beat or they had a miscommunication up front. These are sacks where the quarterback is holding on to the football for a long time and he's unsure where to go early. I mean, when he holds on to the football, bad things have happened this year. You know, like, he can scramble, yes, those have been good plays, but when he's back there and he's hitching and he's looking around and then he's trying to roll to one side or the other, more often than not, those have turned into negative plays or those have turned into throwaways. So they need to do a better job, and it does start with the quarterback of getting rid of the football and trusting kind of what the play calls for.
This is sort of a weird hypothetical, but Sunday's game against Pittsburgh, let's say you had a choice that would make you feel better about the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. Would it be a win with them looking the way that they've looked over the last 4 weeks, or would it be a loss, but the pass game looks much better and functional?
Whew, okay. it's a tough hypothetical, because with a loss, now you're pretty much not getting the one seed. And we've talked about this before.
Yeah, Spike.
I'm just asking.
Answer the question, Kapadia.
Yeah. I think you feel better with the win and just say, well, hopefully.
Oh, yes. You are such. See, yes. Stop trying to appease the Ike. All right.
No, he's a smart man. He knows.
If you lose the game, you're going to Detroit. I mean, I do have confidence. I have a hard time seeing the Eagles defense playing poorly in this game. I think they're going to do, Russell Wilson's going to have a tough time in this game. But I don't know. This is the best defense they faced all season. Actually, if you look at their schedule, they have not faced really a top 10 defense all season long. This will be the best defense they've faced. And so it is going to be a test. I do think they're going to have to find ways to make plays in the passing game against this Pittsburgh defense.
So to ask you about Pittsburgh, it was funny. We asked Baldy about Pittsburgh yesterday. He's like, not really that good. So do you? How tough do you see this matchup overall on Sunday? Because Pittsburgh, too, and specifically on offense, I'm looking at point totals, and it looks like they've found a real groove. What do you look at as, you know, where do you see this game in terms of how tough this is going to be for the Eagles on Sunday?
Yeah, I think offensively they're not great, especially without George Pickens in the lineup, and I don't think he's going to play in this game. So they just don't have a lot of guys to throw the football to, and they've asked Russell Wilson to. It's kind of what we were just a little bit of what we were talking about with Jalen Hurts, which is don't turn the football over. We'll find other ways to win the game. So they're an old school team in that respect, where I do think their defense is very good. Their pass rush, in my opinion, and their edge rusher specifically, is one of the best groups in the NFL. So there will be plays in this game where Jalen Hurts is under pressure. I'm not that impressed with them offensively. Like I said, they win with special teams. They win with defense. But at the same time, I mean, the record's excellent. The only team in the AFC with a better point differential than them is the Buffalo Bills. And now they've got this gauntlet where they face the Eagles, the Ravens, and the Chiefs in three consecutive weeks. And in my opinion, those are three of the teams that can win the Super Bowl. And so we'll find out 3 weeks from now. But yeah, I don't think they're a great team. I think they're an overachieving team.
You want to give us your prediction there, buddy boy?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think the Eagles defense is going to play really well in this game. Tomlin, historically, as an underdog, has like one of the best percentages of covering of any coach in NFL history. And I haven't seen this Eagles passing game against a good defense play well this season. So I got a close game. I think the line's a little high for my liking, but I do have the Eagles winning 21-17.
Ah, the coward's prediction. So a win and not a cover.
Steelers cover.
Yeah.
I'm giving you the specific prediction. I mean, who has the guts to do that where you're picking the win, but you're saying specifically, you know, what number you're going to get? I wouldn't call that the coward's prediction.
Well, look, that I hear.
Don't let them bully you, Shield. Don't let them bully you.
Ike does it almost every week.
Yep, it's called being smart. That's all it is.
And I didn't prepare you for this, but it is Bob Barker's birthday. He had a very famous cameo in Happy Gilmore. So we're doing like famous cameos today, movies, TV, music. Do you have a famous cameo that jumps into your head?
Well, luckily, you know, Jack Fritz finally prepped me for questions this week in week 15. And I took a second to think about it. I don't know if you watched Dave with Philly's own Lil Dicky, but how about Brad Pitt in one of the season finales in that show? I thought was an amazing hour or whatever it was of television.
Okay. Way to be edgy on the radio, by the way, saying that.
Oh, wow. Lil Dicky.
You're so hip. So cool. Shoot, you're almost 50. What are we not doing Lil Dicky talk?
Yeah, come on. What are you doing?
Please, give me a break.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable the abuse this man takes, man. Unbelievable.
All right, Shield. We appreciate it as always, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
All right, guys.
Take it easy. Actually, I watched 2 episodes of Dave. It's pretty funny. Mike,
I heard good things.
Yeah, my podcast partner Mike, his wife is friends with Taylor, who is like the female lead in that show. And we like, this show's pretty funny, actually. I don't know any of Lil Dicky's music. I only know him from him sitting at the Sixers game.
Yeah, actually.
I don't know any Lil Dicky songs.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Jalen and AJ, Jordan Mailata yesterday just had truly had enough of Jalen and AJ. Here's what he said. You got to respect that, because you said this yesterday. The other players on the team at this point have to be pretty sick of this. We were talking about in relation to Saquon yesterday, just being like, guys, trust me, this could be a lot worse. But you have to imagine they're having this great season. And they you know, wake up to this stuff on Monday and then Tuesday.
And you see teammates have to answer questions about this stuff that's going on. And I can appreciate Jordan saying what he said. Because while it may appear that he's trying to lash out at us, the media, saying we're not talking about it anymore.
It's not about
it's
us.
Really a message to his teammates.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need this distraction right now. Jordan was a part of the team last year, so guys that were a part of that certainly are doing their best to prevent this type of stuff from happening. They know they have a good season going. They have aspirations to do big things this postseason, and this is a distraction. I believe, and God bless him, we love him, and I still think his heart was in the right place, but there's probably some frustration with DG there as well by his teammates, because part of what they're saying is also, BG, we love you, but you're not here to have to answer this stuff and deal with this stuff. And for the very fact that you're injured right now and seemingly out for the season, you're not going to have an impact on whether we can win games or not out there on the field. Like, our job is already hard enough. We don't want to have to deal with this.
And not to psychoanalyze Brandon at all, but I imagine there's a part of Brandon that is so frustrated that he can't contribute on the field.
Yes.
Is trying to have a difference off the field as much as he can, because he wants the team to succeed as much as anybody, whether he's playing or not playing. And I think part of it came from
his heart's in the right place. Like the intention was the right intention. And like I said, his heart's in the right place. And quite frankly, I was although, you know, with QB1, you gotta take what you can get out of him when, as far as it goes. I thought AJ address the BG angle of it with a little bit more delicacy to it. He did speak about BG speaking with emotion, but he said it with a sense of calm on his face, not anger.
You could hear it in his voice.
He's basically saying, man, y'all know BG, man. We all love BG. Y'all know BG talks. You know what I mean? Like, that's sort of what he was saying. And so he didn't seem to be as upset by it. Whereas with Jalen, what did he say? BG spoke out of turn or spoke out of place or something like that? I thought that was a little more harsh for BG. And maybe that's just him not being able to parse words or what have you. I just thought AJ did it with a little bit more gentle touch with it. And it didn't seem as offended by it. Whereas with Jalen, it almost came off, he might have been a little annoyed by all of this.
And when he was
the guy, BG was defending.
That's the interesting part, is that he was actually attacking AJ most of the time.
Do you want the BG comments? Or, Jalen talking about BG?
Sure.
Jalen, there's been a lot of talk this week about your relationship with AJ, obviously off of what Brandon Graham said. Just wonder if you want to offer up any clarity on the situation.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Did you two talk after Brandon's comments?
We've spoken. I think in the end, Brandon, BG, we're calling him Brandon. BG knows he spoke out of place, and he knows that.
Yeah. Not quite as soft
well,
as
and
AJ
he was defending you.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the real ironic part of it. I'm like, yeah, he's defending you.
And can I?
I would expect you to have a little bit more. We love BG, and is there any other's heart's in the right place? Like, I was expecting a little more of that.
Well, you know, there's a possibility that Jalen's like, I can handle my own stuff, man.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. So,
like, I'm
that's
an adult
true.
Here. Yeah. I'm the quarterback. Let me handle
fair.
My own stuff.
That's fair, because you almost, what you really did was created more of an issue.
And nobody has said this, and I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying that it is something that goes through my head sometimes when we're talking about Jalen passing up passes to AJ when he's wide open. Yeah. This is why the relationship thing is pertinent. It's not because anybody cares that they're friends or not friends.
Right.
And by the way, we only know that they're friends because they let us know that they're friends in the beginning.
Yeah, we just look at them as teammates.
We saw the FaceTime and the blah, blah, blah. I'm not saying he would do this. I'm not saying this is likely. I'm just saying it's possible that if it is bad enough, it's worth wondering if he didn't throw the ball to the guy because he was pissed off at him. And it would not be the first time I've seen it in basketball when two guys are frustrated with each other, the guy not the point guard not passing it to the guy or looking him off or whatever. Again, we'll never know. But the two from AJ were not that we're talking about when he was that were touchdowns basically. We're not early. Like those are far enough into the progression where it's not right away with those things that we've seen Jalen miss before. Again, I'm not stating that I believe this is specifically true. However, in the context of all of this, it does make you wonder, how does he not see him? Is he purposely not throwing him the ball because he has another option, you know, on two of them, throws it to Devontae.
Actually, the ironic part is he scored on both of those
on both
plays.
Of them. Yeah, but it's at least, I think, worth thinking about. At least when people are asking, why does this matter? Why does, if they're friends, matter? Well, if it's bad enough, which maybe it is, maybe it's not. None of us really have any idea. Does Jalen look at him and say, screw that guy?
Well, here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say to that. Whatever the issue or situation is with them as friends or not being friends, I don't particularly care as long as it doesn't affect the on-field results. That's really all we care about.
Yep.
I don't run in the circles with Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown. So I'm not hanging around these guys. I don't know if they're around each other or they're not around each other. All I care about is what happens on the field. And so as long as when you get between those lines, everybody can do their job and
right.
do their job to the best of their ability, and you go out and win football games. Like, that's ultimately what we really care about. That's ultimately what we really care
that's
about.
That's all I care about, but that's why my brain went to that, is it affecting what is happening, you know, on the field? And
only one person knows that.
Right, right.
To be honest about
it. It's
like,
just Jalen.
Like, even if AJ thought that, he can't really prove that. Like,
it's just Jalen.
Yeah, only Jalen knows whether or not he's not throwing the ball to somebody. I would hope that's not the case. I hope that's not the case. He seems like a team guy. So I would imagine he's about trying to win and doing what's necessarily to win.
I would hope that's
what I would believe.
He has shown that throughout his career.
Yeah.
So one thing we haven't talked about that we'll talk about next is the Sixers Arena is going to happen.
Hey!
It's going to happen. So
clap your hands.
So exciting.
Yeah.
So.
Everybody.
You see the parade outside?
Oh,
people
tons of parade. Well, they're actually doing 76ers. A thing in that area today. The people who protested, I guess, are going to do a caravan through the area to show how gridlocked it'll be when the arena comes.
Awesome.
So luckily we're not around there anymore. So we will talk about the specifics of it next, as well as your calls on Jalen Hurts' comments that you're just going to have to accept who he is.
I'm a winner!
215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike and Spike and Fritz. The Twitter question is brought to you by... Are you all right? Sorry.
Oh, chairs in the corner of the table for sure.
Wow. No, it was my chair because I push my chair all the way to the back as I stand up.
Wow.
Sometimes. The Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Men's Night is back tonight at Mark's Jewelers. Holiday shopping with an open bar, food trucks, and more. Finish your holiday shopping strong at Mark's Jewelers. Jalen Hurts said yesterday you have to accept that this is who he is as a quarterback. Do you accept it or do you want the passing game to get better? 56% say, I accept it. 44% say they do not accept it.
How about that?
Yeah, right down the middle there.
Yeah.
So earlier today, Philadelphia City Council approved, I think the votes were 12 to 4 or 8 to 4, whatever it was, to approve the deal with the Philadelphia 76ers to build 76 Place right there, Market East. What is that? Right around 10th and Market. Mm. The original agreement had the Sixers giving the city $50 million in for community services. The city council said they wanted $100 million. In fact, a couple of the city council members, Nick O'Rourke was one of them, wanted $300 million, asked for $300 million, and they settled on $60. So
seems like a bad negotiation.
Yeah, terrible negotiation. I'll say
this. That's what I said to Rod, too. I was like,
yeah.
Rod.
Yeah. So I'll say this. As somebody who is pretty ambivalent about whether they put the arena there or not, like Philadelphia, the city council, the politicians in Philadelphia, first of all, you choked in the negotiations in that the difference of $10 million to Harris Blitzer to build this billion-dollar arena is like nothing. You could have gotten more money. You got scared. You choked, and it was a bad negotiation. They should have held out longer, and they should have dared the Sixers to leave. I believe. The second thing is that we should, anyone who pays wage tax, anyone who pays property tax, anyone who spends any time in Philadelphia should be able to be shown where every dollar of that is being spent. Because too many times we are told that we're going to be taxed on this and it's going to go to some like grand program, community program, and then we never see the results of anything about it. And big cities, Philadelphia being one of them, are have so many cash problems that there's a significant chance all of this $60 million could go to nothing,
right.
Could go to just the regular running. And there are so many things that need to be put in place for this to actually work, SEPTA stuff, you know, infrastructure around all of that, that like, I want to know where every single dollar is going, what program it's going to, what building it's building, all of that stuff. And you listening, if you are part of this in any way, if you care at all, you should want to know that too,
yeah.
Because the negotiation should have been better. And I truly believe that from a gridlock perspective, is going to be terrible around there. I don't care how many reports they do saying how many people are going to need. They need such an enormous increase of people to take SEPTA over driving.
Yeah.
An enormous increase to not have gridlock. I don't think it's likely. It's not going to revitalize the area. Having 50 basketball games in the area and 22 concerts is not going to revitalize the area. So all,
you don't think it'll help out some?
No.
Really?
Historically, mostly it doesn't.
Wow.
It doesn't. I don't think it will.
New restaurants or anything of that nature?
Maybe, but there will be also restaurants that are hurt by it, right? That the thing about this, if you wanted to go eat there and there's a Sixers game there, you're not going. And how many times, because you don't want the hassle, right? Like if you're not going to the Sixers game.
Oh, you mean if you're not going to the game and you just want to go somewhere
yes.
and eat, right?
And then what that does is, it's not just the 50 or 60 or 70 or 100 nights that it's busy. Once you stop going to that area, you just stop going to that.
Oh, you're out. Yeah, you're out.
You just stop going to that area.
Yeah.
So but what do I think a sports bar that could pop up and they're going to build, you know, they're going to build apartments and all that, which is going to be great for the Sixers.
Right.
But my bigger question is I'm not saying that's the reason not to do it. That's not what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately they were going to get the arena. But my thing is, if all of these things are going to happen, I better know what good is happening for Philadelphia, not just the Sixers.
Right.
I know why this is good for the Sixers. I know why it's good for people who go to Sixers games.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know why it's good for Philadelphia. So for every dollar that city, and almost every one of these city council members was on record saying this was a bad deal. They said it was a bad deal, and they basically approved it anyway. So I just want to know where all this money's going. That's what I want to know, because I pay wage tax, you know. I lived in Philadelphia for a while, and, you know, we're all part of this. And
right.
we all, whether you live in the suburbs or live in the city, a thriving Philadelphia is important to all of us. And I just want to know where every one of these dollars is going. And that's up to city council. That's not on the Sixers anymore. Mm-hmm. Like the Sixers are trying to get done what they were trying to get done, and they got it
done. You want to know what is the city doing with the money?
Where's this money going? Because you could have had twice as much. There's no doubt in my mind that if they had played hardball, they could have gotten $100 million. What's the difference between $60 and $100 million to the Philadelphia, to Josh Harris and David Blatt?
Nothing.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, those dudes own a soccer team. They own the Commanders. They own the Devils. They own the Phillies. Yeah. You're telling me you couldn't have played hardball and got more. So I just want to know where all the money's going. That's it.
Okay.
And I'm sure we'll all be happy when the arena opens. It'll be a cool new arena. It'll be neat, all that kind of stuff. I just want to know, from a Philadelphia perspective, how is this better? That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's when I sit back and listen to the sides that you get some that want it and they're excited about it, but then there's so much more pushback against it. I'm clueless, obviously, on this thing. And I'm like, okay, why wouldn't a new arena be a good thing? And then I hear more and more why it wouldn't be. It's like, yeah, it does seem like it's more of a pain in the butt than it is anything else. And if you're going to put your citizens through this hassle or what have you, then there should be something that comes back that benefits them besides a new building coming downtown.
Yeah, and I don't want to hear, like, jobs created, because what you're doing,
because that's what they'll say. They'll say more jobs created.
And what you're talking about,
I almost said that.
Yeah, well, but what they'll talk about is jobs created. But this is jobs created, first of all, in building the arena. And no offense to the union workers who will build it. That's good for them, absolutely. But that's not like a long term change. And when you talk about jobs at the arena, well, those are probably a lot of part time workers that are already working at the Wells Fargo Center that now are going to have to go to two different places to go rather than just one. So It's the reason that I try to stay out of this mostly is you were talking about the two sides. Mm-hmm. Is that it became dirty pool by both sides. It became Chinatown. There's a black group that was for it. There was the Chinatown group that was against it. And all of a sudden, if you're on one side or the other,
you're against the other.
Yeah, they paint you into some sort of argument. I'm not on Comcast side. I'm not on the Sixers side. I am on Philadelphia side in this. And I just this city has been through a rough 5 years. You know, like most major cities have since the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And this was an opportunity to an area that has been struggling for 20 years, for a long time to do something with that area, understanding that what is happening is failing. Where is that money going? I just want to know where the money's going. Mm. That's it. All right.
I'm sure they'll get right on that.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
They're going to put it all in fine print, where the money's going.
Well, truthfully, this is the one time I'm going to talk about that I'm not going to be involved because it's so exhausting.
Right.
You know, city politics and getting anything done and all of those things are torture. There's an article I read by a guy named Sean Blanda about how long it took them to fix Washington Ave in South Philly. And they went through 8 years of meetings and flyers and votes. And do you know what they did?
What?
Nothing. They did nothing. So, all right. 2-1 back to football. 215-592-9494. Do you accept who Jalen Hurts is as a quarterback as he says you should accept it? Chris in Middletown, you're on WIP.
Good afternoon, man.
What up, Chris?
All right, guys. So Jalen is showing us who he is, all right? Why can't his delusional fan club accept it, okay? He is Carson Wentz. Let me give you some facts here. They both started off on fire. They both were MVP front runner-ups. They both got paid. Then problems started to arise with other players and start to materialize. The play started to decline. They both hold on to the ball too long and take too many sacks. And then the most glaring thing to me that shows the most problem, biggest problem here is when questioned about the problems, they both say, I'm not changing. I am who I am. And you could use Jalen's words and parse the specifics and Carson's. It's the same theme. Guys, that arrogance and parallel to each other is absolutely remarkable. And on top of the other question of why are we cursed that we're going through this again, I don't know. But you know what? To his fan club that wants to tell me he's a winner because now, Spike, they want to count wins as a Jalen stat. Okay, he's a regular season winner. You hit the nail on the head. Real winners win a championship. Jack knows what I'm talking about. But, again, the people that talk about winning then will make excuses and say, he's 2-3 in the playoffs. He's got a losing record in the playoffs. Well, that wasn't his fault. That was somebody else, okay? The last thing I'm going to say about this, guys, is I guarantee you, I don't care how this season goes, there's been enough problem times here. Howie's going to draft another quarterback to hedge his bets on the quarterback position for us. And
yeah, I can't wait till we draft somebody in the second or third round that's a project.
Yeah. I mean,
it's going to happen.
Yeah.
He's going to do it again.
Yeah, they lucked into Jalen Hurts.
I know they did. But look at what, but Jalen's not materialized. So they're going to have to take another stab at it because, again, it's this constant spiraling. Now, I don't know. I'm just some guy that watches the games and I pretend like I'm a general manager for my house in Middletown, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they all see something more than I don't, and maybe that doesn't happen. But from what I'm seeing, and then when I hear him come out and have the arrogance to say, like, you know, starts talking about himself in the third person, again, to me it just sounds like Carson. It sounds like I'm not going to try to conform and change. I don't need him to change to what I want him to look like. I need him to change into what his coaching staff wants him to do. That's
what
I don't feel like he is.
Listen, I agree with some of the things you're saying there. When you talk about changing for the better, realizing that there are areas he needs to improve in, I think those are things that are eerily similar to what we saw at the end of Wentz's career, which was really him being defiant, right? It's one of those things where after a while, you get tired of people criticizing you and everything you do that you feel like you got to stand up for yourself at some point and speak up for yourself as opposed to being a punching bag. Here's where I'll tell you it's different. Wentz did that without actually having wins as a result to back him up. Like, he did that and while we were losing games and turning the ball over. Jalen is saying this while he's winning games. There's a difference. You got to put yourself in his shoes. He's saying, what do you want me to do as a quarterback? You want me to go out here and put up stats, or you want me to go out here and win football games?
I hear you. And that's where, again, I hope I'm wrong with this. But the thing that bugs me was you guys referenced the Mulata comment.
Yeah.
I think the teammates are done with them. They're looking at them and going, knock off the drama. Can we?
Well, true. Yeah, I agree with that.
But, I mean, in defense of Jalen, Jalen didn't start any of this.
Jalen started this, though, yes. Come on, Chris. If there's anybody who was blameless from the standpoint of creating drama on the outside, is Jalen in this situation. He didn't do anything.
Listen, just because AJ is the loud one that speaks about it doesn't mean he's the guilty.
Well, actually, AJ only threw one word out there. I mean, being honest, one of our favorites really threw gasoline on this thing. Like, I mean, listen, we love BG. Yes, of course. Like, we love BG, but that's really what caused this thing to go where it went.
You know very well the second guy that pushes back gets the flag. So look, I feel like that's AJ. Like, so we don't know what's going on behind the scenes with the two of them, and then AJ pushes them back, and then, you know, we're going to throw the flag and say it's AJ. So
I don't think anybody's mad at AJ for saying it.
No.
I think most people agree with him.
His teammates coming out and saying, what's he doing? You hear Devonta Smith coming out and saying AJ's wrong?
No, that's what I'm saying. Listen, I don't even think AJ was wrong. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think anybody's mad at AJ other than maybe Jalen, but I don't think anybody else is mad at AJ. Well, BG was for a minute, but now everything's fixed. Everything's fixed.
Why do we have to have this? Why is it going to be difficult in Philly? Why can't we be 10-2?
Because it's what we do, man. It's what we do.
I know. Hey, guys, before I get to the next question, let me just give a quick shout-out here. Shout-out to Louie. Louie's been calling in. I'm really enjoying his calls.
Louie from Nebraska, the fake golfer?
Not a fake golfer.
Lay off of Ike and Jack's
That's our buddy. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
It's our friend.
That's our buddy.
Hashtag private courses only.
Louis, in all seriousness, Louis, keep calling, keep developing your skills, and then work and get towards called up to big leagues on the midday show. So,
why don't you just
on our show?
Shove it
on the our show. You just did that?
You got to give him. You had stones. I give you, I give you credit, Chris. You got stones, brother.
Well, he just knows he could beat me up. That's why.
I am who I am. I'm not changing. You know, Chris in Middletown is. You know what I'm saying?
All right. So for the Hand and Stone gift card, today's Bob Barker's birthday, so we're looking for famous cameos. Can be movie, TV, music. What is your cameo?
This is how much I'm locked into your show, okay, and how I pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we
Scott
know.
Stapp, listen, Scott Stapp played Sinatra in the movie Reagan that just came out this August.
Oh, I didn't know that. Who with Dennis Quaid? Scott Stapp from Creed.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Creed, correct.
Really?
He played Sinatra?
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. I did not know that. I didn't
Spike's
see...
going to go see that movie in the theater.
Probably not. Yeah, but... Wow, that's a good one, Chris. I did not know Scott Stapp was in the Reagan movie.
Neither did I. Speaking of some of our new callers,
yeah,
you notice who's been absent for about a week?
He's back on Friday.
Not OJ.
You're talking about OK.
Yeah.
He's back on Friday.
Oh, okay, Andrew?
Yeah, I was wondering if I scared him off.
No.
What happened?
He sent me an Instagram, because he hasn't been calling. But
right.
I guess he's busy. He sent me he's like, don't worry.
Great. Nice way to start it.
He sent me a DM. He was like...
As if we were worried.
Fear not. He's going to call on Friday and bring it. Now, he hasn't called in a while. Can you imagine the list of topics he's going to have? He's going to have a lot of topics.
I know.
Now, I got to call fraud here. Not with us.
Okay.
But with OG.
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
Well, he's boycotting the show.
That's, yeah, I know. It's nonsense.
Very cute of him.
It is nonsense.
Yep.
It's a way to stay away from the fray right now.
Yep.
That's all it is. Stop tweeting at me.
Yeah. Is that what he's doing?
Yes, he's tweeting at me, yes. Stop tweeting at me.
I still blocked him.
He's tweeting at me because he's listening to the show. So he's commenting on everything we comment about.
Look, man.
Take your medicine, OG. Call up and defend your guy.
You know, if there's the saying about hot and kitchen, and the kitchen's a little hot.
Instead of telling me I'm not doing a good job defending him.
Is that what he's telling you?
Yes.
Wow, that is a really sad turn for OG.
That's what I said, man.
He's begging you to fight his battles.
Right, they're critiquing me.
Corey doesn't do that.
No.
Louis doesn't do that.
Then he's critiquing me, yes.
Unbelievable. Wow, that is sad. And I think...
He says he's such a man, too. You know what I mean? Like, OG's, I'm the tough guy. I'm a man this, man that. He's so afraid. He's afraid.
Yes. 215-592-9494. Brian in Jersey, you're on WIP. What's up, Brian?
What's going on? Yo, I could be the new OG. Like, I'll land my plane. I got knowledge without college. What you want?
No, there you go.
Look, dude, it might be another week from audition, so you never know.
So the thing with Jalen, he's saying let him be him, but I don't think he's saying let me be me. I'll throw for 108 yards. Like, I think he's saying I'm going to do what I have to do to win the game, whether I run for 70, throw for 150, run for fifth. Like, I think he's just saying he will do what he has to do to win the game.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's crazy. You just had him on. You got Chris from Middletown. You got Reese. You got the other guy, Brian, who called the other day.
Yep.
Who seemed to think that this guy can't throw the ball to AJ. And, like, I think they just either on too much flour or have revisionist history. I don't know what it is, but they seem to forget that in 2022, AJ had almost 1,500 yards and 11 touchdowns. Last year, he had almost 1,500 yards, 7 touchdowns, and actually broke a record for 125 yards in 6 games in a row. This year, he missed 3 games, I think. He has 836 yards and 4 touchdowns. You know, AJ has the most the player with the most 100-yard game of 100 yards in a game is Terry McLaurin with 5.
Oh, we lost.
That's four. He's
there
next best. So I don't understand this perception that
Brian, you watch the games, right?
Of course.
Okay. You think they're passing the ball well enough and getting the ball to AJ enough? I mean, I guess we could say all these things, but we all know. Like, you watch the games and you know.
So
100%.
Okay. So the big question becomes, okay, so, you know, AJ had 1500 yards in 22. AJ had 1500 yards in 23. What the hell is going on now? And it's not
AJ has 800 yards. He's on pace for more than 1000 yards.
But that's a 50% decrease from the two previous years. Like that's like saying, well, I made $1 million last year, and I made $1 million the year before. I'm making $500,000 or $750,000 this year. That's the same. It's the same. It's not the same.
I know. I'm supposed to be taking OG's plane here, but I'm not gonna say that Jalen isn't bad. I think this past game was his worst game this season. I do. Trust me, I'm not blind to it. I see that he needs to pass the ball better. But when he says I'm gonna be me, which is him winning football games and doing what he has to do, when the game is on the line, if he has to use his legs or his arm to make the drive keep going and score at the end, whether he's pushing or throwing to Calcaterra, it doesn't matter. He's doing what he has to do to win the game.
Yeah. That's fine, and I agree with that. He has made big plays in that case. But I think what everybody would agree with, and what you would agree with as well, is that like there's a chance we might not be in those situations if we made the easier plays earlier in the game.
I can agree with that.
Okay. Do you want to give us your... that's a good discussion. Yeah. Good points, both sides. Look at that. What is your... For the Hand and Stone gift card, what is your famous cameo?
All right, I got Neil Patrick Harris and Harold and Kumar.
Oh, see,
that's a good answer.
Harold and Kumar go to White Castle. Oh, I never saw it.
Castles?
Yeah, the
as
movie
in the
is,
restaurant.
Yeah, there's a movie called Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. I never saw it. Is it a good one?
Yeah, it's like a
it's a dumb
that's
movie.
That's gotta be a.
It's like a dumb movie.
It's like
funny.
A dude wears my car.
Right, I was getting ready to say that's what. That's actually a great example.
Yeah,
now it's a half-baked movie. Yeah,
now
half-baked was a classic.
Is Neil Patrick Harris is he famous enough to even be a?
Well, he's an actor.
Well, if you love Doogie Howser,
yeah, but so is Brad Pitt, and Brad Pitt can have cameos.
Sure,
you know.
Yeah, I guess it was kind of random. He was in Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Okay,
and that was right around How I Met Your Mother time, so that was peak Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
God, we're starting to get to the Fritz realm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his. I was going to say, that sounds more like his era of TV.
Well, but you so
Neil
close.
Patrick Harris is Doogie.
I know Doogie. Yeah, I know Neil Patrick Harris, yes.
We're getting so close.
Never saw that movie, but this movie you're talking about.
Yeah, oh, Harold and Kumar. Yeah, you see Gone Castle. Girl. Neil Patrick Harris good in Gone Girl. Do you remember that movie?
Gone Girl?
Yeah, with Ben Affleck.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
Neil Patrick Harris was the boyfriend or the guy that had the crush on the wife. So the woman sets up the husband.
Right. That was Doogie Howser?
That was Doogie. Neil Patrick Harris was
that. You know what? I'm thinking of the wrong movie. Are you thinking of Gone Baby Gone?
No, I'm thinking of Gone Girl. Gone Girl, Ben Affleck.
Morgan Freeman?
No.
Okay.
No. Gone Girl, different movie.
Gone Girl. Ben Affleck.
Gone Girl's
not Casey Affleck.
No, Ben. Gone Girl's the movie. Look,
what is Casey Affleck in?
Casey Affleck was in Gone Baby Gone, I believe.
I thought he was just in that stupid ship movie.
What movie?
Ship. With a P.
Ship. Yeah. Relax. Yeah, well, ship.
Oh, you're thinking of Manchester by the sea. Yeah.
Never saw that.
Horrible.
If you're worried about having Gone Girl spoiled, Gone Girl is the one where the woman basically fakes her death and sets up her husband, who is Ben Affleck, as the killer.
Ben Affleck married J-Lo.
Not in the movie.
What are you talking about, man?
All right. Mike Mayock with us next. So we don't have...
I saw a video of J-Lo.
Hardest wood I've ever touched.
He was whacking that thing. Ben's a better man than most, man. I'm saying. Walk away from that, brother. My goodness.
Well, but then he walked over to... who's the
he went back to Jennifer Garner. Yeah.
Jennifer Garner. He's doing fine.
J-Lo, man.
So we don't have Mike Lombardi anymore because he went and took a job with Bill Belichick. Ooh, Mr. Fancy, I'm a winner. Bill Belichick guy.
Yeah, I'll take your little GM job.
Oh. So we have Mike Mayock in with us next.
Yeah.
Mike Mayock's
going to
join
us.
Yeah, we always wanted Mayock. He just wouldn't answer our calls. So Mike Mayock joins us next. Talk about this entire situation, your calls as well. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.